And we're in Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27, we want to take a look just for a moment at the last thing we find in Genesis chapter 26. It has a part to play in some of the things that are coming up here. So it mentions in Genesis 26 and verse 34, when Esau was 40 years old, he took his wives, Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. So he married these pagan wives, which had brought a pagan influence into his life. And it says it was a real grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And that's keep this in mind, that it was bothering both of them that he took these pagan wives. And that lets us know that he wasn't really interested in the things of the Lord. He was more interested in just doing whatever he wanted to do and not really concerned about, what does God want me to do with my life? So he's a sad example of that, and he's very consistent in living a very worldly life. So just a thought on this as we get into the study today too. The more of the world that you and I put into our life, the less room there is for the Lord. And now that's just something to chew on a little bit. If you want to look at 1 John chapter 2, there's a statement that goes along with this. And it says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And sadly, we see that Esau made the choice that he would rather have the things of the world and things that were pleasing to himself rather than seeking the Lord. And that's like it tells us here in 1 John, the sad end of that story is that everything in this world is passing away. So don't put your affections on things that are just going to be gone. You know, you want to focus on things that are going to encourage your life with the Lord and also on the future, you know, you're going to have with the Lord. We want to stand before our Lord and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that we did follow his ways, and he'll bless us for that. We'll see some amazing things in our life. So back in Genesis chapter 27, it says, now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and he said to his son, he said, my son, and he answered him, here I am. Then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt for game, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. And we see here with Isaac, it says that he is getting old. And one of the problems he has is that his eyes are getting dim and he's not able to see well at all. So the sad part with this is that he's not only growing old physically and it's starting to show, but he's growing weak spiritually too. And we see that in his life. So one thing we notice about Isaac, and we'll see this as we go on and look at him further, he started out walking with the Lord. He started out following the ways of the Lord, but as time went on, he just put it on standstill. He decided to stop following the Lord, to stop growing in him. And because of that, he's going to make some very poor decisions, and we see one of them right here. So the encouragement we get from this, the lesson we get is, you don't want to be like Isaac, where you kind of just put your spiritual life on hold and put it on the shelf, because there really is no putting on a hold in the spiritual walk. Either you're getting closer to the Lord or you're drifting further away. There is no middle ground where you say, well, I've gotten close enough to the Lord and I just want to stay right here and not go any further because the Lord might call me to further commitment and I don't want to go back to the world. I just want to kind of stay neutral. That just doesn't happen. We start to drift away further and further from the Lord. And we'll see by his life, he could have done some awesome things for the Lord later in his life here, but instead he does something rather embarrassing as he's going to mess with God's plan. Now he calls his older son, and he said, I've got something I want you to do there in verse 2. He said, I'm getting old and I don't know the day of my death. Now here's an interesting thing about Isaac too, we notice. He's thinking, I'm going to die soon because I'm getting old. The truth of the matter is he lives another 40 years after this. So he's not on his deathbed, okay? I don't know what it is. Some people think they're dying their whole life. You know, it's like, I'm not going to make it another day. But yeah, so Isaac is really jumping the gun here by what he's doing. You know, it's poor me, I'm dying, and he's not even close to dying yet. Now it says in verse 3, now therefore please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Now remember that with his children, Jacob and Esau, Esau is the favored one to Isaac, and that's a mistake from the get-go that he is going to favor kids. And hopefully when we have children, we don't show favoritism to any of the children, because you're going to cause problems down the road somewhere. That's just the way it is, okay? And we're going to see that in other passages in the Old Testament as we continue, that there are other people that did the same thing, and it caused problems down the road. Now he's going out to, he's asking him to go out and hunt. Remember, he was the hunter. He was the guy out in the field. He went out and got the animals, and apparently learned how to cook them pretty well, because old Isaac now is saying, I could sure go for one of your meals that you make when you go out there and hunt and catch something. So he says, make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I might eat. Now he's saying this, I want you to bring this food that I really love. And we see a serious issue here. His love for food, in this particular instance, is going to be a big mistake. And something that we want to think on ourselves is, don't let your love be your weakness, especially when it comes to following the Lord, okay? If there's something that you and I want more than following the Lord, the enemy can use that as a big trap for us. And here we see with Isaac, he's falling right into this trap. He says, man, I just love that food. It's like, that is what I really want. So what he's going to do is, his goal is to pronounce a blessing on his oldest son, Esau. And this is going to be an important thing we'll talk about in a little bit here. But that wasn't to be. God had said that's not going to happen. In Genesis 25, you want to look back a chapter. So just to remind us here, in verse 21, it said, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. This is Genesis 25, verse 21. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and here's the important part for this, and the older shall serve the younger. So God had already prophesied to her that the younger child is going to be the one who will rule. Now, here we have Isaac, who's about to try to upset the card on that one, and he's going to turn that over to the oldest son, Esau. So what he's doing here, he's going against the plan of God. Now, we don't have, you know, every thought he has, so we're not 100% sure why he's doing this, but we were told early on that he favored his son. Okay, so whether it was bothering him that, you know what, God said he's going to make my younger son rule, but I really don't care for him as much as I do Esau. I want Esau to be the head of the family after I'm gone. So he's going to intervene on God's plan. And here he's thinking, you know, that maybe God didn't mean what he said. Maybe he made a mistake. I mean, this isn't the norm that the younger son would be the ruler over the older son. So he's going to step in here and make a really bad mistake. Okay, so it says, I want this food that I love. Boy, you just cooked me this meal. I love that stuff. And he said, you bring it to me that I may eat, and my soul may bless you before I die. So he's saying, I'm going to give you the blessing. And just a reminder of how this works again. In their culture, they had two things there that would be passed on to the oldest son, normally. Okay, the one was the birthright, and that meant that you were the spiritual leader of the family. And the second part of that would be the blessing. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, this would be the inheritance, okay? It would be passing on the financial and the animals or whatever else you had as far as wealth was concerned to the oldest son. And the idea was he'd get a double portion than anybody else for the purpose of ruling the family. So he had enough money to take care of not only himself, but also the family too. That was the idea behind this, okay? So there are two issues with this, the birthright and the blessing. Now remember, Esau has already sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, all right? So he already sold that to Jacob when they were younger. So he's already lost that birthright. The thing he wants is the blessing, okay? We'll see that, because we'll see he's going to weep when it doesn't happen. Excuse me. Now that's interesting to note too, because when he lost his birthright, we don't see any tears over that at all. He didn't care about the spiritual leadership. That didn't bother him. It's like, sure, if you want it, you can have it. I want the soup. Give me the food, man. So I don't know if this is passed on from Isaac, but the love of food has done some damage in these guys in their life. Okay? Now, he goes on and he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this blessing before I die. So, verse 5, it says, now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. Now, it doesn't tell us how that happened either. I don't know if this is just a very interesting coincidence that Rebekah heard, or if she's kind of been maybe listening to Isaac lately as he says, oh, I'm getting old and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen down the road or something. So maybe she's been hovering to think, okay, I know sooner or later he's going to try something here and I need to make sure it's the right thing. So anyway, she was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So in the story now, Esau's gone. He says, I'm going to do this for Dad. I'm going to get him the best I can find so I can get that inheritance. So he's looking for the wealth. So he's gone. He took off. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, she's talking to Jacob here, she said, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food for them and for your father, such as he loves. So she knows he loves this stuff, okay? She knows how to get to him as well. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. So she is now going to intervene on the plan that he's going to intervene on. So, yeah, you can see this is really getting to be quite the mess at this point, okay? Now, this is a sad picture for us in this sense. God is on the right side here, okay? She could have made the choice to say, okay, God already said this is going to happen. So she could have said, let's just, you know, take this to the Lord and let's kind of sit back and see how does the Lord work this out to make this happen. She could have trusted the Lord in this situation. But she doesn't do that. She decides that she's going to help God out. How many times do we have to see this, you know, when somebody tries to help God out and they always mess it up? Because see, his hands are perfect when he's working on something and ours are not. So we stick our hands in there, it's going to be messed up. We need to learn just, okay, Lord, if you said you're going to do this, and I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to back off. I'm going to let you do your thing. And I know it's going to come out perfect in the end, you know? So she makes that mistake. She's not trusting the Lord here. She's decided to go in and put her 2 cents worth in and do the same thing. Now, it would have been beautiful to see that they would have just trusted God's promise instead of fighting this in the flesh. Now, we're going to talk about this some more as we get into this, but just to get our minds set on this, as believers, there are two directions we can go, okay? We can do things in the flesh, or we can do things in the spirit. When we do things in the flesh, it's our way, and it's not good, all right? When we do things in the spirit, we're submitting to God, we're letting him lead, and we're simply following. And it's always going to turn out better that way, all right? There's always peace on that side. There's turmoil on the other side, okay? So as we talk about doing things in the flesh or in the spirit, that's what we're referring to, all right? And it's a big deal about submitting to God and letting him lead. And there's faith in that because it's trusting God. Say, Lord, if you said you're going to do this, even though the circumstances don't look good right now, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to see you work. Because God is trustworthy. Everything he says is absolutely true. He's not kidding around. He's not playing games. If he says it, he means it, okay? So Rebekah spoke to Jacob and said, I want you to go get a couple of these goats to bring in, these kids from the goats, and I'm going to cook them up, and man, he is going to love this, okay? Now, what she told him to do in verse 8 is the part that's disturbing again. She told her son, she said, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Where's the prayer? You know, it would have been very well here to see her say, we're going to pray right now. We're going to ask God for guidance. What should we do? You know, does the Lord want us to step in and do something, or does he want us to just back out of the way and let him deal with this? But instead of praying, she says, I want you to obey me. Another mistake, okay, in the way she's approaching this. Now, she knows, too, of how to manipulate him because she knows he's really going to like this meal she's going to cook. So she's going to use that to get things the way she thinks they should be done, okay? So she said, you take this to your father, he's going to eat it, he's going to bless you before he dies, and everything will be as it should be, okay? Then he's the one that's going to get the blessing. Now, I don't know. I shouldn't be reading motives in this, I guess, but remember when we were told that Isaac favored the older son Esau, that Rebekah favored the younger son, Jacob. So her favoring, I don't know if she was really so serious about, I just want to follow the Lord in this, or it's my son, it's my baby boy, you know, and I want him to be blessed. I don't know. Like I said, shame on me for looking at motives, but just makes you wonder with the information God gave us. Now, verse 11, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, he said, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver. By the way, he is a deceiver, okay, to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. So what Jacob is saying is, Mom, there's a problem with your plan here. I do not appear like my brother, okay? He's a hairy guy, and not anywhere close to that. So if I get close to Dad and he grabs me, he's going to say, you're not Esau, you're Jacob. So he said, if I do this, my dad's going to find out, he's going to think I'm a deceiver. Well, he is a deceiver, okay? I'm wondering if Dad doesn't know this by now, just from some of the reaction he's had. Some people think, too, he learned this from his mom, maybe, because she seems to be pretty good at playing these games, too, doing a little manipulation and deceiving there, okay? So he's letting Mom know, I'm thinking this plan through, Mom, and there's a flaw here. So verse 13, but his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. So she's saying, hey, if there's any curse, I will take it, all right? And only obey my voice and go get them for me. So she's saying, just do what I'm telling you. I know what I'm doing. This is going to work out, okay? So he went and he got them and he brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. So again, it comes back to this, the thing that he loved more than following the Lord was going to be a problem, okay? A serious problem, because he's going to fall into this deal too. Now verse 15, then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau. So she went to the closet and picked out his favorite clothes, okay? And it says, which were in the house, and she put them on Jacob, her younger son. So Mom has this next problem figured out. I'm going to make him as close as I can to his brother Esau. So she gets Esau's clothes and puts him on him. So she's covering the outside to make it appear like this is really the right son. This is the older son. Okay. This is a bad thing to see, too, that, you know, we can cover up the outside, but the inside is what needs to be changed if there's going to be a change from the Lord. The outside doesn't change anything. He's still the same guy. It's just the outside that appears to be different. Okay. So it says in verse 16, she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. So she's going to try to make him hairy, have the appearance of being hairy. Now, I like what somebody said. They said, how hairy was Esau that you put goat skin on him and it feels like him, you know? So, yeah, and it says he came out of the womb that way. So pretty hairy guy, okay? So somehow she strapped these skins on his hands in case he gets close enough and Dad grabs the hand, he'll get the hair. And she put it on his neck, too, thinking, in case he gets close enough and Dad puts his hand around her arm around to hug him, she wants him to feel that hairy neck, to really be fooled in thinking this is Esau. It says, then she gave the savory food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Now, he's already questioning this, okay? He's expecting who to come. He's waiting for Esau to come in with the food. I'm sure he's smelling the food already, and he's hearing the voice, and he's thinking something's not right here. So he's already asking him, who are you, my son? So Jacob said to his father, I'm sure he had a little, I'm Esau, you know, kind of changed voice maybe a little bit or something here. I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. I obeyed you, Dad. Oh, my goodness. This is a real setup, okay? Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. Now, this is pure deception, all right? I mean, he's stepping in saying, I'm the other guy, I did the hunting, I brought you the food, and now I'd like the blessing. This is just pure deception, okay? It says, but Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? So he's thinking the game must have been waiting for you when he got out there. How did you get it back so fast and cook it and everything? He's thinking, boy, that was really fast, you know? And it was, because his mom didn't waste any time, right? She's getting the job done before the son gets back. So he's again saying something just doesn't seem right about this, all right? Now, it says his answer to him was, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Now, this is really bad, okay? We see, and what the Lord is doing in this story, he's revealing to us what these people are like, okay? We know in the past Isaac was following the Lord. We know that. But now we see he's drifted from that. He's not too concerned about God's plan anymore. Rebecca, it appears she, we'll give her the benefit of the doubt, that she wants to see God's plan happen. But in doing this, she's doing things the wrong way. She's going to use deception and lies to try to get things done. And that's not good either. Now, with Jacob, he's being revealed to us that he doesn't mind deceiving his own father and even bringing God into the picture to deceive his own father. That's scary stuff, okay? Now, the wild thing is God's going to use Jacob down the road in a great way. He's going to bring the Messiah through his family line. So we can see right here, God's going to have to do some major work on this guy, and he's going to, okay? That's coming down the road. But right now, he says, the Lord your God brought it to me. That's how I got the hunting done so fast. God just brought the animal to me, and I was able to take it out really quick, okay? So it's really scary to see him using the Lord in this. So I'm thinking, wow, you have no fear of the Lord at this point to be doing these kind of things, okay? Now, here's the sad thing, and this is trying to get us to think a little bit too, because you and I will be put in places of pressure too, where there is going to be a temptation for us to maybe deceive or to lie our way out of it, okay? If we trust the Lord, though, how about just a simple confrontation of truth, you know? I mean, why couldn't, this is another option, why couldn't they have gone to him and said, now, Dad, you know that God said this blessing is supposed to go to me. You know, do you really want to go against the Lord on this? And I mean, in that sense, if somebody came to me with that, that would bring conviction in, woo, right away, like, you know, I've touched a sacred thing here. I need to back off and let go of that. But we don't see them using that at all. And it tells us they're not willing to trust God at this point, okay? And it's the same for you and me. When we think we got to step in and do things ourselves, we're admitting that we don't really trust the Lord. We might say that up front, but in our heart, it's just different, okay? So the sad thing is, he uses the Lord here. He says, man, the Lord brought this to me. That's how I got it to you so fast, Dad. Verse 21, Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So he's still got doubts. He's saying, boy, that voice, that just, and you can imagine, if Isaac has been losing his sight, his other senses are probably sharpened, okay? And he knows people's voices and stuff, and he's thinking, man, I've never heard Esau talk like Jacob, you know, so something's not quite right here. So he's thinking, I'm going to give you a test, come in a little closer. So he's going to do the field test. So Jacob thought of this, and they were covered for this one. But he said, I want to see if you're really my son Esau. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him. And he said, and this is him thinking out loud. We're glad he did, because it lets us see what's going on. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So again, those hands must have been really hairy to feel like goat skin, okay? That's some rough kind of stuff there. So he said, I don't get this. The voice isn't right, but the hands feel right. So he's still in a dilemma here. It says, and he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Now, I didn't give him the blessing yet, but at this point he probably said, oh, bless you, my son Esau. You're my man, you know, kind of a thing. You're my boy. So that's probably what was going on here, is he's getting a little more confident, okay? But then he says again, are you really my son Esau? This is the second time that's come up in a very quick moment here, because it's still like clicking. It's like something is not right. That voice, it just isn't right. So he's still got doubts. Are you really my son Esau? And he said, I am. So Jacob answered and said, I'm really the guy. Now, think about this with me as we're going through this. As far as Jacob's concerned, the Lord gave him multiple opportunities to come clean. I mean, how many times did Jacob say, is this the real deal? Are you really him? Are you really my son? See, every one of those times is kind of a stop sign for Jacob to finally say, you know what? You're right. You're right. I'm sorry, Dad. I was trying to deceive you. And God was giving him a chance at that point to back out of this deception. All right? Now, somebody, I like what somebody calls this. They said he was running stop signs, running them, okay? God was putting stop signs there for him to pause and turn around, and he just kept running right through those stop signs. Now, the same thing with you and me. You know, when we have temptation coming our way to tempt us to do something, God's going to put those stop signs in front of us and give us opportunities to come clean and get away from that stuff, whatever it is. You know, the enemy knows our weakness. He knows how to draw us past these stop signs. But God gives us a chance. You know, the Lord tells us in the New Testament, there's no temptation that's given to you that's beyond what you can handle. So God is going to put them there. You just have to pay attention to the stop signs. And it's tough, I know. Because the temptation a lot of times the enemy uses against you and me, he's working on our desires, you know, the things that we like, the things that we want. So he's messing with our feelings. And man, you know, especially ladies know, your feelings get involved, it is tough to back away from the feelings, you know. So that's why the wisdom is, don't let the feelings get started in the first place. And this is where we have to use our mind, okay? As the Lord has told us what is right and what is wrong, don't even let the feelings get started. I mean, you know what you should do and what you shouldn't do. So as soon as the temptation comes and it starts working on your feelings, back away and say, Lord, I don't want that. I want to be walking with you. And just confess that to the Lord and run from it, you know? And we see that in Scripture for people that are successful spiritually. They're able to get away from the temptation. They flee when it's coming. Okay, so here's Jacob. He had another stop sign. He ran right through that thing again. He said, are you really Esau? Yes, I am. How many lies has he told? Boom, 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 boom. Okay, so verse 25, he said, bring it near to me, talking about the food, and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing. And what does he smell? He smells Esau's clothes, right? And he smells that field line. Because look what he says here. He blessed him and he said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. So probably every piece of clothing in his garments there smelled like the outdoors. Because that's where he lived. He liked living out in the woods out there doing the hunting and stuff. And his dad smelled that on those clothes when he got close. So see, he's still giving tests here. He's still kind of testing this out. But this was the one that convinced him. Once he smelled the smell on him, he thought, oh yeah, yeah. Jacob doesn't smell anything like that. Jacob smells like the kitchen because he does some cooking too, but he don't smell like the outdoors. So he says, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. So the first part of this blessing he declares to him is one for provision and prosperity. May God bless you from the fields. May he make all the provision for you that you need, where you have plenty of grain, plenty of wine. So he's turning over those things to him in this blessing. Everything he owns from that area now is being passed down to, he thinks, Esau, but it's really going to Jacob. Then it says, let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. So now he's declaring protection, power, and victory over his life, that his enemies will not be over him, but he will be over his enemies, and the nations will bow down to him. Be master over your brethren. So now he's declaring him the head of the household, as far as the one responsible to rule and take care of the family. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. He has now made him the ruler of the family. Okay? So all of these things are now passed down to Jacob, which God said they were going to anyway. It's just, this is sad to see man shove him out in this way instead of it coming peaceably from the Lord. And then he said an extremely important thing here, cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. And in this here, he's passing on the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham to begin with. And this is passed on to all the Jews today. That's why still today, if you bless the Jews, you will be blessed, the nation of Israel. If you curse them, you will be cursed. And I think that's what we're seeing right now in our own country, unfortunately, is as the administration now is turning their back on Israel and coming against Israel in different areas. And all of a sudden, our country starts having all these catastrophes, things falling apart, all the crazy stuff going on. God said, I'll bless you if you bless them, but if you curse them, you've got a curse coming. And I think it's simply God removing his hand of protection on the land. It's not God saying, I'm going to come and destroy this or that. No. God said, I've been protecting you for such a long time, and you're telling me to leave. And God's so gracious, he's so patient, hasn't left yet. But now that we're pointing at Israel and starting to pick on them, God says, I'm not going against my promise. I promise blessing to God's people through Abraham, and I promise cursing. So if you don't want the blessing anymore, I'll simply remove that hand of blessing, and then you'll see the cursing coming in. And sadly, our nation is headed that way. The more we go against Israel, you can expect more and more and more things to happen. And am I happy to say that? No, I'm very sad to say that. We've enjoyed blessing for such a long time because we have been on the side of Israel. But you watch, the further we move away, the more disastrous things will be. And it's just a shame because it could all be prevented. So he's passing on this blessing to him through this. Now, we're asking, as we look at this story up to this point, all of these people we're looking at are acting in the flesh versus acting in the spirit. And that's why we talked about that a little bit more. They're trusting in themselves rather than trusting in God. Isaac himself is going against God's plan. So a lesson we learn from this, be very, very careful. Because when you and I are in the flesh, we can actually go against God's plan. Not just ignore it, but actually go against it. Okay? So this is a good challenge for you and me. We live in a country where there's so much comfort and ease. A lot of times you might hear the voice of the Lord. You know, he might say, I want you to do this. And we say, I don't really want to do that, Lord. Not now. I'll do it later, maybe later. You know? And as we're putting those things off that God's calling us to, we're getting in the flesh. And the danger there is that without even maybe thinking it through, we might actually come against God's plan as he's trying to work in our life. So the encouragement is, boy, don't walk in the flesh. If you're a Christian today, walk in the Spirit. You know, when we walk in the Spirit, we see love, joy, peace. Those things just flow out. But if you're in the flesh, you can expect disastrous things to happen. Okay? So we see a sad story as we look at this. Now, in verse 30, it says, now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your son, that you may, your soul may bless me. So he's coming, bouncing in here, thinking, man, I got the goods. I got a good hunting trip. I got the food cooked. You're going to love this meal, okay? So he's expecting his dad just to be thrilled to see him. And he gets a different story when he gets in the room. In verse 32, his father Isaac said to him, who are you? Now, can you imagine what's going through his mind? I mean, he didn't see Jacob because he can't see, but he was finally convinced when he smelled the clothes, oh, I guess it is Esau. I didn't think it was him, but it must have been. Well, now he hears Esau's voice, all right? And that's pretty much enough to grab his attention. So he's saying, who are you? Because it just, his mind is boggled here. And he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly. So this is the idea that he is all shook up, okay? He has realized now what happened. If that wasn't you that was in here a minute ago that I gave everything to in the family, then who was it? And he realizes it didn't happen at all like he thought it was going to happen, okay? Now, he messed up because he wasn't following God's plan, all right? Now he's in a place where he's really shook because he messed up his own plan. Because God intervened. God was not going to allow that to happen. Okay? So he's shaking now. He's trembling exceedingly, it says. And he said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came. And I have blessed him. In other words, I gave everything to them. Whoever that was here before. And indeed, he shall be blessed. Now here I give Isaac a bit of credit. Okay? Because he's already passed the blessing on. He knows it wasn't the way he wanted it, but he said he will be blessed. So he's at least honoring his word. All right, this is basically a legal deal in the family where he has said, I'm giving this inheritance to you, I'm passing all this on, and now legally it's done. It's a finished deal based on their word. Okay, so he does at least honor that. He doesn't say, oh, that was bad, we're going to eliminate that, we're going to start over. No, he doesn't go there. He said, he's going to be blessed because I gave my word. Okay. Verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. Esau now realizes he's been had. Old Jacob is at it again. And he realizes, I'm left with nothing. Could you see? when he went hunting, I'm sure he was probably counting everything he was going to have. I know Dad's got all these sheep. I know he's got all these cattle. I know he's got all these servants. And he's probably thinking, man, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go on vacation. You know, I'm going to have me a good trip here and just enjoy life. And he's probably got this all figured out. He won the lotto, okay? And now he comes in, he realizes, you don't get nothing. It's all gone. It's gone. Yeah, so he's crying, all right? Now, why is he crying? It's not because of his spiritual loss. It's because of the financial loss. Why? Let me ask you something. What grabs your heart, you know? Does it grab your heart when you realize you've lost something spiritually? When God wanted you to do something, you didn't follow through, and you repent, and you say, Lord, I messed up, I'm sorry. Does that grab your heart? Or is it more when, oh man, I lost that money, I paid that bill, and they charged me more than I was supposed to get, and I cry over that? Because see, that reveals our heart too when we have circumstances like this. What's really important to us, you know? So he says he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and he said to his father, bless me also, oh my father. So he's crying out, oh please, bless me, Dad. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. Now, hang on a minute, Isaac, okay? Because Isaac, their father, was going against God's plan. So you want to be careful about pointing that finger, that your brother was deceiving here, because you weren't doing things upright either, okay? So you want to be real careful with that. Now, here's something that I have learned. When I'm dealing with somebody else's sin, it really helps to humble me to remember my own sin. You know what I'm saying? So before jumping on somebody else and pointing out, boy, you really messed up, you sinned, and I know it's the Lord who says, what about you? What have you done? You know, and it's like, yeah. You know, and you realize, I'm a sinner too. I need to be real careful about pointing other sins out and other folks like that, see? So, something we notice about Isaac. I understand he's upset here, but he's not looking in the mirror yet, okay? Verse 36, and Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? And that name Jacob, it means supplanter, which means deceitful. That's his name. He walks around with this idea of being a deceiver, okay? And in our terms today, we probably call him a good con artist, okay? Now, think about this. I don't mean this bad. Do we have any Jacobs here? I better ask first. We got any Jacobs before I say this? I see some people that name their child Jacob. You know, I'm thinking, have you looked up the meaning of that name before you did that? Because it's kind of interesting. It's interesting just watching somehow these names play out, you know? The name Ryan, for instance. We do have a Ryan here. It's like, say this. The name Ryan means ruler, all right? And it's interesting, a lot of the Ryans are leaders. I mean, they really are. The problem is, where are they leading, okay? If they submit to the Lord, they're leading the right way. If they don't, they're leading the wrong way, okay? But Jacob means trickster. That's what it means. And it's kind of funny, you find out some people that name their kids Jacob, they end up being a little con artist, like a little trickster, you know, like to play games and stuff. Just want to think about that when you're putting names on kids. Anyway, it says, Esau points this out. Is he not rightly named Jacob? I mean, isn't that a good name for him? For he has supplanted me these two times. He's conned me twice now, he says. He took away my birthright. Now, he's stretching that. He didn't take it away. He gave it to him. All right? He surrendered that on his own accord. But he's going to blame old Jacob on this one. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he did do that. Okay? He did con Dad on this one, not him. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Okay? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master. He's the boss. He's ruling. Okay? And all his brethren I have given to him as servants. So he's top guy. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? He's basically said, I've passed the inheritance on to him. What do you want me to do? You know? So Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. So he's really crying. Now take a look at Hebrews chapter 12 for a minute, because it talks about this incident in the New Testament. In case you're reading through Hebrews sometime and you wonder what all is going on, we're looking at the story here. But in Hebrews 12, it actually gives us a little bit of detail on this. And it's more from God's perspective here to really see what's going on. It says in verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. And the word profane here means godless. So lest there be a godless person like Esau, who for one morsel of food, just one small meal, he sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, and this is the blessing story we looked at in Genesis here, for he was rejected. For though he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. And the idea there is, if you're an ungodly person, you only care about the things of this world, you don't care about the things of the Lord, don't cry about it when you don't get the things from the Lord. You know? Because there's a blessing God may want to give you, but if you're chasing the world and then you come to the end and say, well, why didn't God bless me? He didn't have to bless you. You're chasing the world. You know what I'm saying? So the lesson there is, you don't want to be like that. You don't want to be an ungodly person like Esau. Because no matter how many tears he weeps back here in Genesis, there's nothing going to change. Tears aren't going to do it at this point. It's too late, okay? And the encouragement is, don't wait until it's too late, all right? And something to think about. If you're hitting stop signs right now, if God's throwing things up in front of you, man, don't run another stop sign. God is not kidding. There's danger ahead, okay? The stop sign is there for a reason. You want to stop right now and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I'm going the wrong direction. Help me to turn around and go the right way, okay? So here's Esau, and he's crying back in Genesis, and it's not going to change a thing, okay? So he's weeping, and Isaac's going to give him a little blessing that he can in verse 39. Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, so whatever's left you can have, you know, the fields and stuff, and of the dew of heaven from above. So he's saying, God bless you in endeavors that you do take on here. By your sword you shall live, and Esau becomes the father of the Edomites. We see later on in Scripture, and they are a warlike people, so this is going to happen, what he said. And he said, you shall serve your brother. You have to submit to that. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now, that did happen down the road, as the Edomites later on had a chance to get free from Israel, and they did pull away from them and were over them and not putting up with them, actually, at one point in history. So this is going to happen. Now, I don't know exactly how all this comes about when Isaac's pronouncing this. My thought is, too, when he says at the end, you know, the son, the day is going to come where you'll get restless, and even though your brother's over you, you will rebel. You'll get away from that, okay? And my thinking is, now, Dad, you're still pushing on God's plan here. God said that ain't supposed to happen, all right? So last few words Dad's going to put out here, and he's going to move that on, okay? But you should have just left it alone and said, look, I'll bless you when I can, son. I will bless you when I can. But these words will come true down the road, okay? We'll stop at this point, and Lord willing, pick it up next time. But again, you know, if the Lord is trying to warn you and me today, we need to pay attention, because he's not trying to say, I can't wait till you run that next stop sign. I'm going to crush you, man. Can't wait for that to happen. No, his arms are open. You know, he said, come to me, you that are labored and heavy laden. I want to give you rest. I want to help you. I'm not here to crush you. I'm here to help you. Okay, so the Lord is calling today. And if you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know about the work he did on the cross, as he took all of our sins upon himself, he paid for our sins completely on the cross. And that's why he said at the end, it is finished. Everything was taken care of at the cross. And God is saying, I love you so much. I want you to come and receive forgiveness from me. Full forgiveness. You just have to receive my son Jesus, because in him is eternal life. The Bible says there's only one way to come to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. So no matter what the world tells you, no matter what you hear out there, Jesus is the only way to get right with God. We come to him for forgiveness. He legally paid for us on the cross. He paid for every sin. And we praise God for that. Let's pray. Father, if there's somebody here today that has not received Christ, I pray you'd help them, Lord, just to get past whatever issues holding them back. And Father, if it's the enemy who has put the blinders on, I ask you today, Lord, to remove those blinders, that the light of the gospel might shine in their heart and they might receive Christ and be saved. Father, for those who know Jesus right now already, and maybe we've been ignoring the stop signs you've so graciously put in front of us, help us, Lord, just to pay attention, to wake up and to say, I want to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness. We give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.